At this time, we have a special guest here with us this morning. Ariel Garrett is back for a limited time to share with us about her gap year experience so far.
Good morning, JCBC family. I actually had no idea that I was going to be here this weekend. It was Lord's providence that I was here this weekend, and I was really scared to actually come up here and share this morning, but seeing all of you guys here today and, like, how you've gotten me to where I am now and how you've supported me is, like, such an amazing thing. So I'm thankful that the Lord actually brought me here this weekend on Mission Sunday to present to you guys. So I'm also a little nervous, so bear with me. But good morning, JCBC family. I'm so excited to update you guys on how the Lord has been working in mine and Allie's lives the past few months. The Lord has already taught us so much. We're beyond grateful for all of your love and support. During the month of September, we focused on what it means to be a Christ follower. This month was primarily based on ensuring that we had proper biblical foundations before building upon those in future months. Throughout this month, we also had opportunities to familiarize ourselves with BC, get to know the church, and form relationships with peers. During the month of October, our focus was on the body of Christ and what it means to be a church member. We spent the majority of this month serving with McLean Bible Church in different roles. During this month, I had the opportunity to work with the worship team and even got to lead worship one Sunday morning at the church. Allie had the chance to serve in The Rock, which is the youth group at McLean Bible Church. She was able to lead a small group with 8th grade girls. As we're starting November, we're focusing on today's culture and how to engage in the communities around us. To better engage with those communities, most of our evenings are intentionally set aside for spending time with, praying for, and having gospel-centered conversations with our neighbors. Since getting to D.C., we've also had the opportunity to meet and share the gospel with an amazing woman named Tanya. After enduring the loss of her father, she turned away from praying to her Hindu gods and lived every day burdened by the loss of her father. We met her during one of her workouts, and she's been working out with us ever since. She also goes to lots of, like, parties with us and gets the chance to hang out with us. And the other day, we had the opportunity to present the gospel to her, and she's super open to hearing about the Lord, but she's just not sure if she wants to accept him into her life yet. But we're really grateful just to see, like, how far she's progressed already in her faith, and it's such a beautiful thing that we can be a blessing in her lives. And while growing in biblical knowledge has been such a crucial part of our time here, one of our biggest takeaways thus far has been living on mission for Christ, despite the cultural push to live for self. Although it has only been 2 months, we will carry what we've learned here for the rest of our lives. Your daily support and prayers are a constant reminder of the Lord's faithfulness and provision. We cannot put to words how immeasurably grateful we are to have such a loving home church. We love you dearly and look forward to seeing you soon.
Oh, it's just a privilege to see how the Lord is using these young ladies, isn't it? How he's growing them and how he's preparing them for use to glorify him in his kingdom in the future as they grow and seek to serve him however he calls. So let's once again lift them up in prayer. Oh, Father God, thank you so much for the ways you're working in Ariel and Allie's lives, Lord, for how you're drawing them, Lord, how you're growing them in their biblical foundations, how you've been discipling them through this opportunity to be a part of the gap year experience. I thank you for the opportunity that Ariel's had to lead worship and be a part of the worship team and to glorify you through song, and for Ariel's opportunity to lead that girls' Bible study, to share the things that you have done in her life with other young ladies. Lord, we just pray that you would continue to draw Ariel and Allie to yourself, use this year, again, to honor you and grow them for your purpose for their lives in the future. And we also want to lift up the young lady that they're having opportunity to share with. We pray that your Holy Spirit would touch her, Lord, that her heart would soften towards you, and she would come to the place where she realizes that she needs you in her life more than anything. Father, we also continue to lift up the ministry of Operation Christmas Child, the Samaritan's Purse. Next week is Collection Week, and Lord, we just praise you for how you're going to use these boxes that have been packaged, the over 700 that have been packaged by our church, the many hundreds that will come in from area churches, and then the many thousands that are going to be brought to the collection center in Charlotte and then shipped out to children and families all over the world. We pray that your gospel will be clearly shared through this effort, and we look forward to seeing how you're going to honor yourself through this year's ministry with Operation Christmas Child. Father, we also wish to lift up Mark and Hillary Stipp and their ministry in Spain. We look forward to hearing how you've been using them and the ways that you've been blessing them. Thank you for the opportunity you've given us as a church to be partners with them in their ministry. Also for James and Sarah Walsh as they continue their journey of preparations to serve with Pioneers. I pray for continued direction for them as they seek to what country, what people group you would have them serve. And thank you again for the opportunity for us to have partnership with them as they move toward full-time missions ministry. Father, we also want to lift up the families in our church that are struggling with loss of loved ones this week, Lord, the family of Miss Louise Moses, Elaine Simmons' mother, and also for the family of Beth Mills, Brother David and Danny Bolton's cousin. Father, we lift these families to you, and we pray for your peace from your Holy Spirit. Lord, comfort your special touch from them. Thank you that these folks are with you, glorifying you and worshiping you face to face. Father, we also lift up Mike McGraw to you as he continues to be weaned off the vent there at Princeton Hospital. Thank you for the fact that he's responsive, and just ask for your continued touch over him and his body. Also for Jim Woodard, Ben Woodard's brother, for the kidney surgery that's coming up, God, and the cancer that he's struggling with. Thank you that the doctors believe that that's not spread. We pray that that's contained, Father, that the doctors are able to treat him effectively, Lord, that you would bring healing to his body. And also, Lord, for our auditorium project as work continues there, we lift up the men that are doing such an amazing job working here. We lift up that effort to you. We look forward to the 5th when we're able to gather there and celebrate that new remodel, celebrate together there in one service as a church. I thank you for your provision, Lord, how you're blessing us, and we look forward to seeing how you're going to use that in the future. Lord, the ways your word will be shared, that your name will be lifted up in that room. We just look forward to all that you have, Father God. Again, we thank you, Father, and we love you. Amen.
This morning, we have the honor and privilege of having Mark and Hillary Stipp, our missionaries, to Spain. We began supporting the Stipps over 25 years ago. They began their ministry in Cuba, and then in 2007, the Lord moved their ministry to Spain, where they have been faithfully serving the Lord over the last 14 years. They've come to the end of their time there on the mission field, and they'll be sharing their next steps that God has for them. We're excited about how the Lord has used them and the plans the Lord has for them in their future. I know that you'll be blessed and encouraged by their testimony, just the faithful service that they have had to the Lord, just faithful servants of the Lord that love Him and serve others. We're so thankful for you guys, for your testimony. So, Brother Mark, come and share with us.
Good morning. As your pastor said, my name is Mark Stipp. I'm here with my wife, Hillary, my partner of 42 years. And it's good to be back with you again. As Brother James mentioned, you have enabled us, made us part of your family for the last better than 25 years, and we are here this morning to say thank you very much. It has been a high privilege to be a part of your missions family, to take a part of this ministry, be a part of you, and we wish to thank you for sending us to those places, enabling us to do and see the wonderful things that the Lord is doing in missions around the world. Some of you may not remember me, but I am the product of missions. I was in the intent on an Air Force career. I served 11 years in the United States Air Force. I was a fighter pilot. I was intending on serving 30, 35 years in the military. But I heard the gospel presented by a missionary in a cold warehouse in December of 1979 in Torjon, Spain. The first time I heard a clear presentation of the gospel. I grew up in church. I considered myself schooled as a Christian, and I had no idea what I was talking about. I argued with that man for many months, and the Lord broke my spirit in 1980. Gratefully, He opened my eyes to my sin and the truth of God's Word, and that Christ had died for me on the cross, and all that's necessary to enjoy eternal life and life and a life with Christ in this time is to simply trust Him as Savior by faith. The Air Force did a number of things for me. They sent me around the world. We spent 4.5 years in Europe. We got to see all of Western Europe, much of the Middle East, and parts of Eastern Europe. And then after that, they said, well, you'd normally get to go home, but we really need you to go to the Orient. We were a little disappointed at first, but I got to see a lot of the Orient. Korea, Japan, the Philippines, Australia, New Zealand. And as the Lord worked it out, we were so often very near the missionaries who were touching lives with the same presentation of the gospel that had changed my life. And the Lord used that at one point to raise the question, are you doing everything you really want to do? And I have to admit still that I'm envious of those who have put in a full military career. But after 11 years in the Air Force, the Lord opened our eyes that, you know, bombs and bullets do have their place in a violent, unjust world. However, Jesus Christ is the answer to every world problem that exists. And that is where He wanted us to be. We went off to school, and the Lord called us to an unusual place, a place that we probably should not have been under normal circumstances, but we got to present the gospel in Cuba for 8 years and establish a Bible Institute there in an existing Cuban church. But that time, too, came to a close, and the Lord, after redirecting us, led us back to Spain. And I have to tell you, I didn't want to go. I thought I knew Spain from my military career. I had told the Lord, we'll serve you anywhere in the world, except Spain. And so in 2007, we arrived back in Spain, and after reorienting ourselves to the country He sent us to, the extreme western part of the country, where you see the red oval on your map, that is the city of Plasencia, Spain. And a very beautiful part of the country. Yes, we do all of that stuff that you saw on your slides earlier, but it's got a very rich and dark history. Settled by, you know, the Roman Empire was there for many years. This castle is what Walt Disney copied, and but dominated by Roman Catholicism. And what we found was even more than the country of Cuba, a people dominated by fear. Their lives dictated to them, their spiritual lives controlled by people who controlled them and drove them, motivated them by fear. Really worse than communism was. We found that communism had lost its power over the people when we were there in the 1990s. The young people had lost their fear of the government. In Spain, that was not yet true. And that particular system controls every aspect of your life. Notices this picture that's on our display. Those costumes appear to be something else. Believe me, they predate by centuries anything that we have ever seen in this country. But those costumes are worn during Holy Week. And they belong to the social clubs that are guided by the local bishop. And those social clubs are how you advance yourself in Spain. That's how you get a job. That's whether or not they dictate whether or not your business succeeds. And they occupy your social life entirely. This is one of the processionals that we see during Holy Week in the middle of the night. They dress up, and they'll walk the streets. They've got an oompa band that follows them, and then an idol there behind them. The picture here is very difficult to see from the back, but what you have is Mary holding her dead son, Jesus Christ, across her lap. But there's one very heretical statement that is made by this photo. If you look closely, you'll see that Mary is the one wearing the corona, the crown of light, the symbol of deity, and Jesus is not. And this is what we see. This is the great error that we've seen in Spain, is that Mary is promoted in the place of Christ himself. This is a little chapel on a mountain overlooking our city. There's a little doll there. Again, very difficult to see because of the bright light that was shined on this. But this doll stands about this tall. It was a wooden doll that, according to tradition, fell from heaven and was discovered by shepherds out in the country. They delivered it to the bishop, and the bishop recognized that this is the manifestation of the Virgin Mary for our part of Spain. And she has been crowned by the Pope, and she has this chapel where people climb daily to pray to her. And then the week after Easter weekend, the entire city makes the pilgrimage up the hill to participate in worship of this idol. The country is dominated by idolatry, and of course, you know, Spain is an educated Western country. I've asked my friends, do you really believe this? And they go, no, of course not. But it's what we do. We are Spaniards. This is Spain. And these are the traditions that we follow. So it was a very, very bad situation, but the Lord granted that we would be moved there. We were allowed to open church in a storefront, and we became the first Baptist church in the history of the world of Plasencia, and even the entire province of Cáceres, Spain. This over years we were able to improve the property. We were very proud of it. The Lord gave us a wonderful place to worship. We were able to have a multi-use room on the side, and great for teaching and parties, and we could just do anything imaginable in it. Not that I compare myself on any level with the Apostle Paul, but I can identify with Paul when he bragged to the Corinthian church about the work in Ephesus when he said, the Lord has given us a great open door and effectual. But there are many adversaries. And this is really how we saw our ministry in Spain. We were afforded because people like you prayed for your missionaries. The Lord gave us great opportunity to present the gospel in this very dark country. It was not because I'm a genius. I could figure this out by myself. But the Lord gave us the opportunity to reach these people. We saw, this, not that we necessarily have a praise team. We had no music at all. It was, if you can do anything, come on up and help us worship the Lord. And that's why the 5-year-old Chinese girl's there with her plastic guitar. But, we would take anybody and do anything to get the people to just simply look at the Bible and follow what the Bible says in worship of the Lord. We came up on our first Christmas, and I asked the folks, I said, what do you do to celebrate Christmas? And one old man that you see in the picture here said, nothing. And I said, well, we need to do something. And now you have to remember, our folks are generally converted Catholics. They have a great reverence for the place of worship. They wouldn't, disgrace it or dishonor it in any way. But I said, let's have dinner on the grounds. Now, we didn't have a lot of space, but we could move the chairs away and, you know, set up tables. And they said, oh, no, that wouldn't work. I said, no, this will be great. You can invite your family and neighbors and friends to something that's harmless, you know, just have a meal. And so we experimented. We set up the tables right there in the middle of the auditorium. And guess what? They converted and became Baptists overnight. In fact, you know, meals became a part of everything that we did. The man that you see on the left side of your picture, he never accepted Christ, sadly. He had never, ever darkened the door of an evangelical church. But he would come for the food because he wanted to cook it. And he told me, any time you want to do something, I want to be the chef. Well, okay. We'll do that often just to get this man to attend church and where he can listen to the gospel. That is paella that he had prepared that night, and it was. It was a mess. It made a mess of everything, but the Spaniards love it, and I'd let him fix it as often as he wished. But opportunity to present the gospel in a dark place was what we were always able to enjoy. We were able to get into the public schools. We taught the fifth and sixth graders English. And they would ask us what we believe. What are you doing here? And we could share with them openly. We had more liberty there than we have in the public school system here in the United States. Of course, they would introduce us to their parents. We'd walk around town, and they'd introduce us to their parents. This is my English profe, my English professor. And so we got to do that. We introduced our people to missions. This was a young man that was going to attempting to start a new work on the south side of Madrid. We were able to teach our people the importance of reaching out beyond ourselves, beyond our city, with the gospel. And this man has been very successful in starting a church in Madrid. We had a seminary where we were developing leaders there. We have seen men surrender their lives for the ministry and graduate from our seminary. All of these men here are involved in ministry today, and we're proud of them. One of the greatest opportunity we had is we met the owner of a bookstore. And in Spain is the country in Western Europe that is the furthest behind in acquiring the English language. Its unemployment is exceptionally high. 35% unemployment was common in our country. The statistic that was most devastating to us was that half of all men that are age 35 and younger have never had a paying job. But to get a job, to get a good job, you had to have some English capability. And they had school book learning, but they had never practiced the language. And this was the opportunity we had to open a conversational English class in this bookstore. It was wildly popular. And for years and years, we could draw people into this. We did not use this as a forum for the gospel, but rather what we did, it was relationship building, where we could then invite them into our home. They're learning to roast hot dogs over an open fire. They had never done that before. We also made root beer floats. That sounded dangerous, but we invited, we made close friends, and then, of course, the object was, in a private atmosphere, in a private setting, present Jesus Christ by faith and not by works to these people that need to know the Lord. In 2016, we met a couple in this town. This is the town of Aceituna. It literally means olive. About 45 minutes of the town, west of the town where we live, very small town. But the couple in the middle of this picture, she's from Chile, and he is Spanish. But they wanted to win their town for Christ, and so we would split our ministry and go out there. This was our second work, but again, it was an opportunity to take our church in Placencia and show them the importance of reaching out and doing what we can to encourage others to spread the gospel in their location. They had the brilliant idea of let's not go to the classroom where we normally preach. Let's have in the spring an evangelistic campaign where we cook outside. So we would have a lunch, more paella, and invite people who would not attend church otherwise, family members and friends. That's good stuff. I know there's some things that look ugly in there, but it's great stuff. And so we would have a big picnic, and then in the evening go back to a classroom that was in the village and simply share the Bible. Wonderful, wonderful opportunities, and we saw some great people come to Christ, like Simona. She's the flower lady, and she has flowers for the church every single week. Our seminary, when COVID hit, was kind of ground to a halt, but it forced us to go online where it should have always been. We had an itinerant ministry with the seminary where we'd travel between churches. We were forced to go online and hold our classes, and our classes, partly because people were locked in their homes, exploded. My classes would be between 18 and 25 students, and it became international. Bring up one of the guy in the left column in the middle, he was studying from Venezuela. They couldn't go out at all. Their churches were closed, and so he was attending my class. I had six students from Venezuela consistently. And so we saw great success with the seminary, and in the last year that seminary has been transferred to national control, and it should continue in the same format. The work in Altoona continues today. And I ask that you pray for that little bitty town that is named Olive, that the gospel might proceed. The ministry in Placencia has ceased. A key member of our congregation lost his faith. Because of the economy, Spain is collapsing rapidly. The poor man went through a Job experience, and unfortunately his faith did not survive, as Job's did. But our members were dispersed. And similar to what we see in the book of Acts, they went everywhere preaching the gospel. We have a couple, and I wish you would remember the names Miguel and Nine. Her first name is spelled just like the number 9, N-I-N-E, Nine. And this couple, the Lord touched. We had the chance to disciple them over 3 years. And as we were forced out of the country, they came to us and they said, we wish to start a church in the village where we live. And they are laboring to do that today and already facing difficult opposition by the city government. Spain needs your prayers still. We were able to experience wonderful opportunities that only the Lord could grant us in response to your prayers. Thank you for remembering us. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your missions family. Thank you for sending us to those places that needed to hear the gospel. They need the gospel still. Lord bless you. It's been our privilege to serve with you. I guess I need to mention that I am now retiring from the mission field, and I'm going to go to my home church. I've been invited to come on the pastoral staff there, and we will continue in as an assistant pastor in the Sumter Baptist Temple of Sumter, South Carolina. So we get to serve in the United States now for a while in a task for which we are very glad. But we are thrilled and happy. We would do it all again to serve you and serve in those places that we've done. Thank you for allowing us to be your missionaries. Lord bless you all.
Brother Mark and Ms. Hillary, thank you so much for your faithful years of service. And it's been a privilege to partner with you guys, and we're so very, very thankful for you guys. At this time, I typically introduce another missionary. This morning, I'm introducing Sarah and I. It is an honor and a privilege to share with you all, our church family, what the Lord's been doing in our hearts in regard to missions. Sarah and I believe that the Lord has placed a call and a desire in our hearts to serve on the mission field. We have been very slowly but surely working our way through the process, beginning with our church's missionary development process. And this morning, I'd like to take a few minutes and share our testimony with you all about how the Lord has led us to taking this step of faith and following Him into missions.
Good morning. I'll start first. I'd like to share my testimony of salvation and then how I believe that God has called us into missions. I grew up in a Christian home, around the age of 5, I prayed and trusted Christ as my Savior. I remember being thankful that Jesus died and rose again for my sins, and I knew that I wanted to be in heaven with Him someday. And then when I was 10, I was at a VBS, and I was listening to the speaker, and I was convicted that my salvation wasn't just about going to heaven, but about living my life for Jesus. I knew that I wanted to serve the Lord, and I continued to grow in the church. I continued to be active in the youth group, and through high school, the Lord just continued to helped me grow closer to Him. Through, I had Brian and Donna Stutler, was my youth pastor and wife, and just what an encouragement they were to me. And then I was able to go on a couple different mission trips through youth group. And when I was 16, for 1 week, I was a junior counselor at a Christian summer camp. And one night they showed a video to all the staff and the campers that were there. And it was a video showing these missionaries that went to this town, and that this village of these people that had never heard about Jesus before. And I remember watching this video and just being overwhelmed at the emotions that the villagers showed when they heard that Jesus had died for him. For them, they wept. And then after hearing how Jesus rose again, they rejoiced. And I was convicted that how I had taken the gospel for granted. I had the privilege of hearing the gospel since I was a child, and I wasn't always excited or thankful like these people were when they were just hearing about the gospel. And the fact that they had never heard the gospel before was very eye-opening to me, and I believe the Lord began to kind of work in my heart then of thinking about missions. And so as entering into my senior year of high school, I was thinking and praying a lot about what God would want me to do for my future. And I remember driving home one night and just praying and talking to God and asking Him for wisdom, and finally saying yes to whatever the Lord would want me to do, and as in regards to missions or ministry, whatever it might be. And so I decided to go to, after graduating high school, I decided to attend Appalachian Bible College. And just what an awesome experience that was there, being surrounded by a lot of other godly young men and young women, and just growing in my faith. Met James there, and obviously we got married after graduation. And since we've been married, we've been involved in children's and youth ministry over the last 15 years. We've taken teenagers on a lot of different missions trips, and for a long time felt that that was how God wanted me to be involved in missions. But then over the last couple years, we've just really felt like the Lord has been burdening our hearts more for missions, and we believe that God wants us to pursue full-time missions. Throughout this process, we've been talking to our boys, our four boys, and we've been encouraged at how they are responding and excited. And we may not be sure where God wants us to go yet, but we are willing to obey Him, and we would appreciate your prayers for wisdom on where God would lead our family and would be best for us to serve Him.
All right, so I came to know Christ at the age of 12 during a church service where one of the teenagers shared her testimony about how she grew up in church, had a profession of faith when she was younger, but was really trying to earn her salvation by being a good Christian kid. And as I listened to her testimony that day, I realized that I was in that same boat, that I thought I could earn my salvation by being a good Christian kid. And the Holy Spirit convicted me that day that it was only through faith in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection that I could truly be saved from my sins and have a relationship with Him. And so after that time, I began to grow in my walk with the Lord. And then during my junior and senior year of high school, I really began to grow my walk with the Lord more than I ever had before. And to be honest, it was primarily as a result of my parents' divorce. That time was a very difficult time in my life, but God used that time to teach me and to cause me to seek after Him like I never had before in my life. As Romans 8:28 says, And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. During our church's missions conference my senior year, I had spent a good bit of time with one of the missionaries who I had known throughout the years of our time attending church there, and began to talk with him. And I just really felt the Lord tugging at my heart, saying, "James, you need to serve in missions." And I was very interested in youth ministry because the youth leaders and pastor at my church had really invested in me through the time of my parents' divorce and really discipled me and encouraged me. And so I was like, you know, it'd be really cool to go and serve in missions and work with youth in missions. And so I went forward at the missions conference and submitted to serving the Lord in full-time ministry. And I really didn't know where or when or how or anything. So beginning to talk with my pastor at my church, I ended up at Appalachian Bible College. And during my time at ABC, just being in the Word of God like that, I grew so, so much through the study of the Word. And I had people in my life who encouraged me to pursue pastoral ministry, but I was still burdened for missions. And as I prayed and thought, listened to their counsel, I decided to continue to pursue pastoral ministry. Of course, while there at ABC, Sarah and I met. And I knew right away as we were dating that she had been called by the Lord to serve in missions, and we even considered not dating because we knew that that's how the Lord had worked in her heart and her life. However, as time went on, we both believed that the Lord had placed us together. And so by God's grace, Sarah kept dating me, and she even agreed to marry me. And I know what you're thinking, and I'm still just as shocked as you all are that she agreed to marry me. But since being married and serving in pastoral ministry with Sarah by my side, we have constantly discussed and prayed about serving in missions. We didn't pursue missions earlier on in our life because we believed that, we still believe that God was directing us, that He was taking us to the places that He wanted us to serve. And we had the opportunity of serving for just shy of 7 years in Baxley, Georgia at Friendship Congregational Christian Church, and we've had the privilege of serving here since July 1st of 2014. Another obstacle to us pursuing missions was needing to pay off debt. And over the last couple of years, the Lord has allowed us to be in a place where we're very close to having our debts paid off, and we could pray and consider more seriously about going into missions. However, the one thing that I believe that has led Sarah and I to pursue missions at this point in our life is the Word of God. Now, as we read Matthew 28:18-20, we see the great commission that Christ has given to us. And as I'd read throughout Scripture, the Holy Spirit would just prompt my heart and just put a burden on my heart, and just Sarah and I would sit and we would talk, and we'd always say to ourselves, maybe God wants us to serve in missions. And thinking through all that, that brings me to my very first week here at Johnson Chapel. When Pastor Dan was serving in the role that I'm currently serving in as youth and missions pastor, the very first day on the job, we drove up here on a Monday, June 30th? Is there 30 or 31 days in June? Which one? 30. All right. So we drove up on June 30th, and we began Tuesday, July 1st of 2014. I come into our first staff meeting, pastor's meeting, and Pastor Dan plops this big document down and says, "You're going to need to read this." He and Pastor John gave it to us. And it was labeled the Johnston Chapel Mission Strategy. Then he gave me a second, even larger document labeled the Missionary Development Plan. Pastor John and Dan told me that I needed to begin reading through those things. And to be honest, I was not thrilled to get that much reading on my first day on the job. I was like, these guys are crazy. But as I began reading through those documents, and then in the winter of 2015, Pastor John and Pastor Dan presented our new mission strategy to the church. And we as a church voted on this strategy, which focused on seeing missionaries raised up from our church to go to unreached people groups. I was very excited about our church's mission strategy. And this laid out in my role as children's pastor ways to train and to equip our children and their families to consider going as missionaries from Johnston Chapel. I took this seriously and spent a lot of time praying, studying, considering how we might keep missions with our parents and our children in their focus at the forefront of our ministry. And then as Pastor John retired, and Pastor Dan moved into the role as our lead pastor. Obviously, in my role now as youth and missions pastor, I have even more opportunity to interact with our missionaries and to study and to read and to be up to date on things that are going on in missions. During these last few years of my life, as I would read through the book of Acts, it was just the Lord just spoke to my heart through so many times through reading the book of Acts. And just the amazing things God did as people just went out and they suffered and they faithfully shared the gospel and they loved the Lord. And it always reminded me of Acts 1:8, which says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The commands for the apostles then is the same command for us today, to go and to be witnesses for Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. Now, Sarah and I cannot say there's one specific event or time what the Lord has used to just confirm in our heart that we need to go into missions, but it's just been a constant stirring throughout our lives. Of course, we can both go back to that time in high school when we both knew the Lord was working in our hearts. Well, one of the truths that has gripped my heart over these last years is to think about a world with 7.84 billion people. And out of 7.84 billion people, there are 3.28 billion people who are unreached. That means these are people who will be born, live their entire lives, and die without ever hearing the name of Jesus. And the Lord has just burdened my heart for that so much. And said, "James, what can you do?" And we've just both felt hey, there's something more the Lord wants for us. And so with that being said, I'd like to just play a little video that talks more about what it means to be an unreached person. As she quoted there at the end of the video, Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 15, which says, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Passages like these and many others that Lord has just laid upon our hearts and burdened us continue to grow that burden for missions and going to those who have not heard Jesus, and those who need to hear about the good news of His salvation so that our God might be honored and glorified in their lives. So, an update on where we're at and what's going on in our lives. Back in July, July 11th through 15th, Sarah and I, along with all of our boys, went down to Orlando, Florida to visit with Pioneers, the Mission Board of Pioneers, to see if that was the mission agency that we, along with the church, felt like was a good fit for us as we began to pursue missions. As with any good organization, they spent time sharing with us their DNA, who they are, the important things to them. They talked about the 8 core values they have, the passion for God, unreached peoples, church planning, ethos of grace, the local church, a team focus, innovation and flexibility, and participatory servant leadership. As we heard about these things, we got to know the people there, the core values of the ministry. These values resonated with Sarah and I, and we had a good week. We came away very encouraged, feeling like it was a good fit for us. About a month after we got back, due to youth camps and family vacation and COVID and things like that, we had the opportunity to meet with the MDP team and get their approval for us to officially become appointees with Pioneers. And so we did that back in the middle of August or so. But based on today, our next steps are focused on completing a list of 10 teams for us to give to our coach. And our coach will then take those the information we give them and begin contacting these 10 teams and their team leaders. And then hopefully we'll be able to have meetings with their team leaders and be able to phone call, do Zoom meetings, things of that sort to get to know one another. And then, Lord willing, lead to a vision trip where Sarah and I and our two boys, Josiah and Jeremiah, we probably are going to take them, we're not sure about the younger ones, on that vision trip and go and visit some of the teams and some of the people groups and countries where we are considering going. And again, based on today and the things that happened today, and as the Lord leads, we'll begin raising support for these vision trips, for the expenses that we'll need to begin to set up in the country the Lord leads us to. We do not have a definite timeline, but we're prayerfully looking towards January of 2023 or sometime there in the spring of 2023 to begin to raise our support and, Lord willing, get to the field. And, of course, we just want to be obedient to the Lord, and that's really what Sarah and I feel like this is all about. It's not about us. There's nothing special about us. We feel the Lord has given us a burden upon our hearts, and we simply want to be obedient to what He has laid on our hearts. When we get to the mission field, some of you are probably wondering, what will we do? That's a good question. I'd like to know that as well. We kind of have the basic idea, obviously, with my pastoral experience. Our desire is to go, to learn the language, the culture. Sarah would like to homeschool our children. But our ultimate desire is to be involved in church planning, going and evangelizing, discipling, planning churches that are good, strong, healthy churches that then go out and produce more strong, healthy churches. And as we heard from the stiff this morning, it's a lifetime of labor and hard work. And we know that. We know there's difficulties and trials. But again, we just want to simply be obedient to what the Lord has laid upon our hearts. So at this point, one of the things you guys can be doing is praying for us. And how can you pray for us? Pray for wisdom to guard our time as we pray and research potential teams and places to serve. Life is busy. We have very busy schedules. And so pray that God would give us wisdom to guard our time so that we have time to research these countries, to pray together as a family, and seek His face in this decision. And then pray for God to direct us to the right team, the country, and the people group where He would have us to go. And then third, pray for Sarah and I to have wisdom as we lead our boys through this process. Up to this point, they're excited, they're thrilled. Our oldest son, Josiah, wants to go serve in the Amazon jungles and live off the land and catch fish and cook them. And I said, Mom's not going for that. But just be praying for us that the Lord give us wisdom. So with all these things being said this morning, I'd like to wrap up our time with a few reminders. And again, thank you so much, Brother Mark and Ms. Hillary, for your faithful years of service. Thank you so much for going to the people of Spain, people who need to hear the gospel, to hear the truth of Jesus. We need to continue to pray for the ministry there, even though they're coming home and moving to a new ministry. Let's pray for them as they serve there in their home church in the pastoral role. But continue to pray for the relationships and the people and the church members that now, as they said, have dispersed, just like the book of Acts. And specifically think of Miguel and Nina as they are going to that village and already facing hardship and trials as they are trying to build a building to have church and to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Be with them. Pray for that. Pray for the ongoing ministry of the seminary as it's been turned over to a national pastor. Just pray that God would begin to continue to work in those ministries. And again, thank you so, so very much for your faithful years of service. At this time, I'd like to turn over to Daniel.
It's been a great Mission Sunday. Thank you, Mark and Hillary, for sharing with us. It's been an honor to partner with you. I can imagine how you feel this morning going back through memory lane, all that the Lord's done and what He's accomplished through you for His glory. So thank you for being faithful. It's been a joy to partner with you. And thank you, James and Sarah. I think they took off. We got a vote coming up here in a moment, but thanks to James and Sarah. And they left me with the dirty work this morning, a vote, right? They had all the fun. And now we'll take care of the voting item. And Ariel, thank you for sharing. We're proud of you. And what a celebration it is to see her come up and share and think back to the missions offering that we had that 1 month and how you all came through and your support for her, what the Lord's doing in her and Allie's life. So thank you for sharing. Great to have you here today.